Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
I have a quick series that is imperative that I teach on, and I am behind schedule on it. I've been needing to teach on this for a couple, 3-4 years, and I thought I had, but what I've been doing is I've been teaching it at Leaders Academy, I've been teaching it at different retreats and different youth, and I realized I have not taught on finance for a while. And so I think it's really important that you be here tonight and next week, because I just, the more that I think about this, the more that I think about finances, tithe and offering, the principles that have been taught out of the Word about the storehouse, about how important it is for Christian people. I'm sitting here thinking, most of my upbringing, it was taught to me that the poor, the meek, the lowly are all the ones who are able to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I understand what the Bible says about all this, but know this. The way things function in our world, the way that the kingdom of God is furthered, if you look at it, it's always through money. And so we've got to have the right spirit and we've got to have the right heart about money. And we don't have any love of money as Christian people. The Bible says the root of all evil is money. No, it doesn't say that. It says the love of money is the... So we're not teaching tonight, and I want to make sure I'm real clear right up from the start. We're not talking about the love of money tonight. What we're talking about is the love for the kingdom of God. And if we love the kingdom of God, then we'll be out there working our hind ends off so we can further the kingdom of God, because it takes money to do things. And I just think it's really important. If you're going to go on a mission trip, it takes money. If the youth are going to go to a retreat, Josh is telling them, go out and work. Why is that important? Because it's by the hand put to the plow that the kingdom of God is furthered. You get a paycheck, then you're able to pay to go somewhere. The other thing that's cool about that is then you get enough money, you start doing enough of that, and you pay for somebody else and yourself. And you keep growing. And what I'm telling you is, a church that doesn't teach prosperity is going to be dead. Prosperity is important. Now, why? Well, I just get the prosperity message. Yeah, like you go to work every week hoping you won't get a paycheck. You go to work expecting to get paid. I mean, how many's been out today trying to get some more money? So, I don't know of anybody who doesn't need money to survive in this life. And so I want to teach some biblical principles, because the world has a whole bunch of ideas of what you need to do with your money. And I just want to teach some biblical principles so that we're not dependent upon certain other people, the government. We're dependent upon the Lord. And as we apply His principles, I've watched them flourish in Michelle and I's life. And I've watched what we've been able to do for the kingdom of God through what the finances that have flowed into our house, because we just applied some biblical principle. If we are going to get stronger and stronger, if we're going to get stronger and stronger as a people, as Christian people, then we got to know how to handle our money. We got to know how to handle it. It's got to be biblical. A complaint was made to a pastor. Pastor, it's just getting to be just one continuous give, give, give mentality here at this church. The pastor replied, that's one of the best descriptions of Christianity I've ever heard. And I thought, isn't that the case? And it's not about money, but it's about every part of your life. It's in giving that we receive. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. I'm going to go through scripture pretty quick tonight because I've got a lot to talk about, and you can get a CD and go back over it. But you must each decide, 2 Corinthians says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. If you leave here feeling condemned by me, then you have been in violation of this verse. I'm not here to bring condemnation. I'm not here to guilt you into anything. I'm here to tell you God loves a cheerful giver. And so don't do anything in response to what Ashley said. But if the scripture says something and you want to respond to what the Lord says through His word, then obviously you need to do that. As I'm talking about this, I want you to know that I have gotten this whole message in my heart And I've lived it, and we have seen the kingdom of God furthered, not just through us, but through several people who share this vision. The more people are blessed, the more people are able to be blessed. And then the more people that are able to be blessed will then funnel down to the more people that are be able to be blessed. And if you are always in need, then what answer do you have for those that are needing a blessing? See, I want to be the blesser, not the needer. That's what I want to be. So if you're wanting God's blessings for your own advancement, then know this. Once you get it, it stops. Once you get it, it stops. And then it's done. It's like pouring water into a bowl. When you get to the top, it can only handle so much. What I want is water being poured into a bowl that flows over, and I'm able to bless others and continually to pour into others as God blesses and does in my life. So I want to talk about finance tonight, and we got to get, before we start talking about some real specifics about what you do with your money, which is very important, we got to understand the tithe principle, the tithe and offering. And I will say it real quick sometimes before we receive our tithes and offerings on Sunday, but I want to get into some real biblical deep teaching on this so that we know what the Bible says and we stand firm, because the world will tell you this is a bunch of hogwash. And I want you to know, I want to know what the Word says, and then I want to see the fruit from it. So tonight, I want to give you 10 major principles related to the tithe. 10 major principles in 30 minutes related to the tithe. Are you ready? The first one, the scripture commands us to tithe. That there are commandments in the word. Let me just explain commandments. That the word commandments means that you are to do that. It's not the suggestions. We think this is a good idea. The Bible says this is a command, and the scripture commands us to tithe. So you say, okay, well, that's great. What is a tithe? A tithe is defined as a tenth part. In our English language, the word tithe means a tenth part, or is referred to as the first fruit of your increase. The first fruit of your increase. So whatever comes into your home that you didn't have yesterday, if it comes in today, there's an increase that came into your home. And you are to give the first fruit of that increase in a tenth to the Lord. That's what tithe means. I hear people say, and I just in this conversation 2 weeks ago, I hear people say, well, we tithe 20%. No, you don't. And I don't mean to be rude, but you don't tithe 20%. You can only tithe 10% because the word tithe itself means 10. So when you say I tithe 10%, you can say I tithe twice on the same money, but that's not a biblical principle. The principle of the tithe is 10%. So everybody got that. That's really important. As you understand that there's a command to tithe, then we got to understand what it means. It means tenth, a tenth. Now, Leviticus 23:10 says, give the following instructions to the people of Israel, to God's people. Tonight, I'm talking to a bunch of saved people, God's people. It says, when you enter the land I am giving you and you harvest its first crops, bring the priest a bundle of grain from the first cutting of your grain harvest. And if you study that, it's the first fruit of the first produce. So it's the first fruit of the first gain. Now, I want to begin in this first point by saying, this is very important, any excuse that you make for not tithing is simply an empty excuse. And it's direct disobedience to God's commands. And so you can debate me all along, all night, you can debate and debate, but the fact is, there is no excuse when you deny the word of God. And so I want to encourage you tonight, get a hold of this principle. Leviticus 27 tells us to bring all the tithes into the storehouse. There's so many places. You can turn to Deuteronomy 26. You can turn to, I mean, there's so many places that says bring the first fruit. The first fruit is supposed to be coming in. Leviticus 27:30 says a tenth belongs to the Lord. Verse 32 of chapter 27, Leviticus, bring every tenth animal and set them apart. Church, wealth during Bible times was equated to how many animals you owned or how big a crop that you would bring in. And so they were oftentimes, the crop and the animal were means of exchange. What is money? It's a means of exchange. This for that. And so when it talks about the animal or the crops, and you'll have people say, well, yeah, that's talking about animals and crops, not money. It's directly relevant and totally can be just switched out in terminology because it's the principle of the matter. So your tithe that comes in through your increase, and then a tenth of it goes to the Lord. Deuteronomy 12 tells us that the tithe was not to go to your house to be consumed. And again, I'm not spending a lot of time breaking this down. Y'all are smart enough, if you want to get specific, get the CD, listen to it on podcast, and you can find where these are. But where it was to go in Deuteronomy 12, it says it was go to the house of the Lord. Deuteronomy 14, 22, you must be sure to set aside a tithe of your crops for the Lord's use. The idea of the tithe is to go to where God had chooses for his name to dwell and his people. And that is the church. That is the church. A lot of people get this mindset that we can give our 10% anywhere we want. But the Bible's real specific. We are to give the first tenth of our increase. And in doing that, it tests your obedience. Now, let me say this. This is not to show God where your heart is. A lot of people think when they're coming up to pray over their tithe, God, you know my heart, and I'm just coming up here to further your kingdom. And in essence, that's true. But the reason for the tithe is to show you where your heart is. It shows you where your priorities are. When you put God first, you can real quick know that you're headed towards the things of God. And you got to get your mind wrapped around that, or this world will beat you up. And so the tithe, if we start with the tithe, then we're starting with a concern about the things of God. One way that you can know if you're obedient to the tithe, and I'm very particular about this topic, because here's the thing. As I'm teaching this tonight, I'm getting real specific, but our church has over 80% tithers based on the median income for this area. Every pastor I talk to says that's unheard of. So obviously the principle is been passed down to enough maturity that they get it. But you may be here tonight and you never understood this. Don't be beating yourself up as you're hearing what I'm talking about. Because I talk about it real direct and real straightforward. But that's not, my heart is that by you getting a hold of this principle, it will further the kingdom of God through you. And so I want to make sure as I'm talking about this, you're not getting whooped if you've never been taught any of this. So as you're listening to it tonight, take it, receive it, and study it. The first tenth is a test of your obedience. Well, you say, Pastor, how can I know if I'm being obedient to the tithe? Well, a lot of ways that I do this, me, myself. And I will talk about some personal stories and examples from Michelle and I this week and next week. But one thing that I do is in January, when I get my 1099s and W-2s, did anybody get any of those this year? Some of you are like, oh man, I'm coming to church and we're talking about taxes. Well, the mindset I have is we're coming to church and we're talking about taxes. Why? Because I got the money to pay them and I just know enough about it that God's getting ready to bless me for my obedience. The other thing that I love is when the church starts handing out its receipts at the end of the year, 1st of January, and they start getting those receipts. Why that's so important to me is because I take all my 1099s and all my W-2s and I add those up and I check out what my tithing was to the church or the other different entities that we've given to through the year. And as they send that receipt to us, then all of a sudden I'll look at that and I go, praise God. Praise God. We were able to bless the kingdom. We were able to move things forward. There's never a good grief. Can you believe how much you give this year? And I'll never forget the times that I've been sitting in an office with the tax guy and they will say, you give too much to the church. I've heard it. You're just giving too much. You probably ought to look at backing that down, or you're giving too much in your tithes and offerings considering what you make. And I don't see it that way. I see that I can do better next year. See, I know this principle, and as I talk to people who are professional in the area of finance, they don't get it because the world has such a standard set for the way you handle your finances that it doesn't make sense when you teach it from a biblical perspective. But I want to teach it from a biblical perspective because I want the blessings of God upon my finances and even further, and I'll get to this in my life. The other way that I know that I'm doing all right and being obedient to the tithe is after we have been out of service because of snow, or we've been on vacation, or something has happened and we haven't been able to be here. I was gone for two or three different times over the last 3 weeks, and I got back and I was looking at what was going on, and I'd already set it aside. I just hadn't wrote any checks yet, and I didn't know that I was going to be gone. When I got back, I realized we were behind, but I hadn't spent money on anything else. So the first thing I did when I got back is write out our tithing check and offering check, because it was important that we get that in the tithes and offerings and that we are able to move ourselves forward in the concept. And it's very, very important. And it would be hard for me to teach this because I don't do any of the counting of the offering. And it'd be really hard for me to teach this that there's several people out here that count what we give every week. So I want you to know I'm in right now accountability with them. I couldn't be saying what I'm saying and lying. They'd be going, Pastor, you are lying. Or that you just watch over the next week. They'd be talking all about it. But the first thing that I'm always checking is to make sure that the tithe is priority in our lives. It's priority. And I know that many of you agree with that because some of you set it up on a weekly basis to come out in our giving off of the website. Some of you actually send a check to the church, and then there's several that do that. And it comes in different forms, and I'm always like, wow, people are serious about this. And boy, I tell you, when I see that, I know they're serious about another level, and I'll get to that. But when you get a hold of the principle of the tithe, it doesn't make a difference whether or not church is going on, whether you're here, whether you're in California on vacation. It don't matter. We're not missing the tithe because we understand the principle of the commandment from God about the tithe. Number two, God promises to provide for those who tithe. How many want provided for? And I don't want it to be the government. I'm looking for my provision to come from Almighty God. Malachi 3, verse 10. It's the last book in the Old Testament. Let's just read it right from Scripture and see exactly what it says. Malachi 3, verse 10 says, verse 9, back up. You're under curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there'll be enough room in my temple. If you bring my tithes into the storehouse, which the storehouse in this scripture is concerning the temple of the Lord, the things of God, the people of God. If you do, the Bible says that he will open the windows of heaven for you and pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it, put me to the test. Try it out, put me to the test. If you do this, I love it when God says, if you do this, this is what I'm going to do. When I read that in scripture, I'm just like, okay. Here's the problem. A lot of people do it one day and they don't wait for the seed that they've planted to produce the harvest that God's getting ready to bring them. See, they leave the element of time out. But the Bible says, put it to test. Your tithe pulls the trigger on the opening of the windows of heaven where your personal life is concerned. So I want to challenge you. If you haven't done this, try it. I have yet to challenge someone that hasn't tried it for 1 year and came back and said, it absolutely works. I didn't understand all that, but it works. Number three, giving is the foundation of the gospel. John 3:16, for God so what? Loved the world that he what? He gave. The foundation of the gospel was in God giving his son, his one and only son. You can understand God's purpose when you get a hold of this. See, you can see the things in the spirit oftentimes by looking at the natural. You plant one apple seed in the ground, nurture that thing, and then try and count the seeds. Well, it's just impossible. It explodes on you. I mean, the amount of seeds. In 50 years, count the seed that one tree produced. It's just overwhelming. See, by God giving the one seed of Jesus, he set into motion the ultimate display of giving. He gave his only son. Was it difficult for God to give his son? What do you think? Sure. Was it a tax on God? You bet. He said, well, that's God. I don't. If you read scripture, you'll see God's heart in the matter. There had to be a taxing on God to do that. What I want you to see is God put his son in that offering basket and turned and walked away. But he knew the fruit that would come from that offering. When you get a hold of understanding the fruit that comes from your offering, you'd never not give it again in your whole life. So it's just not an option. It may be difficult at first. It may be taxing. But when it comes a matter of the heart and you're not doing it because you're just trying to be obedient, but you're doing it because you see the benefit in the kingdom of God. I mean, we are connected to it and we are sold out. There's not a church we go to that an offering's not coming by that I'm like, I can't wait to give here. That's got to be an attitude that I walk in continually. Not, oh, well, I won't have any money for something later. Well, I don't need something later. I need this right here because I know what it'll do. I know what it'll do. Number four, giving proves God's word is true. Malachi 3:10, put me to the test. Well, Pastor, I just don't know if God's word is true. Here's a good way for you to find out. Good way for you to find out. If you're questioning whether God's word is true, and you're not sure, tithe for 12 months and just check out the validity of scripture. Once again, I'm challenging you. I love this question. How many today are tithing more than what they made in 1 week when they started the workforce? Think about that. Young people, look around. Put your hands up. This isn't a bragging thing. You're tithing more in 1 week than what you started the job force making. Young people, that right there should prove to you the validity of what I'm talking about. The reason why they're where they're at is because they've got a hold of this principle. See, it proves God. Number five, giving teaches us to put God first. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to us. The tithe, church, is not any tenth of one's income. It's one tenth of your whole income. Now, I want to make sure that we're real clear on this. I get asked this question a lot. Do I tithe on the gross or the net? Now, I'm not going to ask you which one, because if I were to say, how many says the net, we'd have some hands go up. How many say the gross, we'd have some hands go up. Here's what I want you to know. You're both right. Pastor, that's straddling the fence. How can that be right? Well, because those that are tithing on the gross, you've tithed on every penny that came into your house. Well, Pastor, not all of it came into my house. Some went to the government. Yeah, and most people that are tithing on the gross have a return in the spring. And when they get that return, that's money they've already paid to tithe on. So that wouldn't be tithable. Now, there may be an offering you want to take out of that. But that wouldn't be tithable. If you're tithing on the net, when you get your income, see, what I want you to get a hold of, it's the increase that comes into your home. So if you've got a tax return coming and you didn't tithe on the money that was taken out of your check before, then you need to tithe on it now. So I've explained this all the time. It's just really important that we get a hold of. It's on whatever increase, what comes into your home. Well, they said they're paying me $300 a week. What's your increase that comes in your home? You're making $220. So you're going to be tithing on $22. But at the end of the year, you're going to get that other 70 or 80 back because you're in a lower tax bracket, and then you get a check for $1,500. Now you owe the $150 for the increase. There's an increase that came. Are you following? I mean, I don't want to spend a lot of time more on that. It's on the increase. It's very important that you tithe on the increase. So people will say, Pastor, I'm just working for everything I got. God's hand blesses on your work, and that's how you get ahead. Well, let me tell you, that's a part of it. But he also blesses on obedience. and willing obedience. And then he even goes on to say, God loves a cheerful giver. See, when you come under the blessings of God, you start seeing visibly the increase in your home and in your life. You send a message to your own heart when you drop in that tithe and you're saying, I'm putting God first. See, when you refuse to tithe and you rob God, then you got to look at what it says in verse 8 of Malachi 3. Should people cheat God? You've cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You've cheated me of the tithes and offerings that are due me. When you refuse to tithe, you're robbing God. If I'm going to rob somebody, just know this, God's not who I want to be robbing. He knows. He don't even need video surveillance. God knows. And so when you don't rob God, you're sending a message to your own heart. You're saying, I believe that obedience to the word is very, very important. Number 6, giving is essential for spiritual growth. Giving is essential for spiritual growth. Luke 16:11 was one of the most profound verses that was ever revealed to me in Scripture as I read. Luke 16, let's start in verse 10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with very much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? The word true riches can be defined as the spiritual blessings. There's a direct correlation. I never understood this. There's a direct correlation on how you handle plain old money with how you will handle the true things of God. I was explaining to our Leaders Academy students this week about this. And I used Jo Lynn as an example. And Jo Lynn's just cute as could be. And I've been around her at the different games and stuff we've been at. And she will want something from the concession stand. Anybody got kids that, oh, Mom, can I have a dollar? Can I have? What parent, including BJ, says, well, sure, here's $100. They won't do that for nothing. They will give her a dollar, and she's going to spend 75 cents, and they will expect the 75 cents. What happens when Jolynn walks back with her quarter? Yeah, she throws it and hits it with her knee and kicks it. Goes right under the bleacher. She gets back to Dad, and Dad goes, where's your quarter? I hit it, and it went under the bleacher. I'm my best Jolynn interpretation. Went under the bleachers. That's okay. Here, go back and get you something to drink, and here's 100. If you can't be trusted with the little, you're not going to ever get the much. If you can't tithe on the one, you'll never tithe on the 10. See, there's just a spiritual principle that has to do here that's very important. For God to trust you with the gift of healing, for God to trust you with the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, for God to give you the blessing that he's wanting, and you can't even take care of plain old money, how will you take care of the things of God? You can't take care of money. So, but you're praying, God, please give me some peace. Peace don't come. Peace don't come until you get a hold of the significance of Luke chapter 16. Why we're talking about this is because money is directly related to the Spirit of God, the anointing of God. Luke 16, you got to be faithful in what you do with your money. If you're not going to be faithful in keeping practical, very simple commandments, why would God give you the blessings of giant commandments? He's just not, you can't even take care of the little things, he said. So you ain't going to get to much. Galatians 5:22. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let me just say this as practical as I know how. If you are not tithing and giving an offering, the fruits of the Spirit are not yours. Pastor, that's going out there quite a bit. I have watched this and watched this and watched this. People who are not being diligent about the tithe and the offering end up not having joy. They don't walk in peace. They don't understand anything about the love that God's people should have for each other, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness to the things of God. If you're not faithful to the tithe, just know this, you won't be faithful to the church. I've never seen it, not once ever. So I'm just telling you, the things that you're looking for in life are directly related to what you're doing with your money. And a lot of people never, ever receive that teaching. I didn't hear it until I was in my 30s. When I got it, I started realizing that when we start doing everything God's way, then we can start seeing the benefit of the things of God. Number 7, giving is evidence of your love for Jesus. John 14:21, you say, well, how could that be the case? Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. Once again, God commands you to tithe. So those that accept and do the tithe and the offerings, God says, I know you love me. I know you love me. And because they love me, it goes on to say, my Father will love them. You're looking for love in every place. Check out your tithe. Oh, I never thought about that. Well, good. I'm glad you're here tonight. John 14, verse 23, all who love me do what I say. All who love me do what I say. You know, if you love the Lord, you'll obey his commandments. It's pretty much that easy. Luke 6:38. I like this because this verse speaks volumes to me because I am a potato chip fan. Oh, Pastor, what are you talking about? I like potato chips, but I'm really frustrated with what they've done in the last couple generations. Have you ever bought one and you open it up and it's like, it goes, psh, and you love the smell and you're like waiting and you reach in, you got to go halfway down the bag to get the first potato chip. Why? Because it's full of a bunch of air. Let me just tell you about the blessings of God. Think about that potato chip bag and listen to this. Luke 6:38. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, poured into your lap with no air. No, it doesn't say it. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. The amount you give will be a direct indication of what you get back. And it's not the same because no seed gets back the same amount. The seed gets back way more, but the amount of seed you produce or that you plant will then allow you to have more and more of the produce. How much you gonna give? I don't know how much you want. How much are you looking for? Well, and there is wisdom in that, so don't get off in left field, but there's wisdom. Invest here and they'll pay you 2%. Invest here and you'll get 5%. I get those principles, but I don't understand the pressed down, shaken together, making room for more. That doesn't make sense to me with anything I invest in here in our country. My stocks and everything are doing pretty good right now. I'm pretty excited about it. We did some things last year, and I just met with our investor this week, and I was impressed at what's happened over the last year. In fact, I was quite blown away, but it still wasn't shaken together, pressed down, and running over. I'm believing that that happens through future and time of me continuing to give and do. And I'm just blown away as I look back, and if I would have thought about where I'm at right now 10 years ago, I'd have went, no way could I be where we're at today. No way. But the principles of God applied, I'm blown away with where we're at. I'm blown away. Now, why? Because God works. The things of God work. Man, I'm just encouraging you tonight, it works. Number 8, giving is an investment in eternity. Matthew 6:20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. How do I do that? You tithe, because the tithe furthers the opportunities for the church, furthers the opportunities. You tithe and you give an offering and you watch what God does. Acts 10:4, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Church, God remembers two things about what you've done. One is your prayers and the other is your giving. Your prayers and your giving. I want those two things remembered. And I need to be equally involved with both. The business of the church is to take what is given and turn it into something that furthers the kingdom of God. That's what the business of the church is. Obviously, we can do more corporately than we can individually. Come on. We can do more corporately than we can individually. So, when we come in and we bring our tithes, a way is provided that all of us together can feed 300 kids a day in Honduras. But in and of yourself, that doesn't happen. Right now, Chico's in Honduras getting a plan together because we're getting ready to start a fourth church down there. How does that happen? He's putting together a whole plan of what needs to happen so he can lead a team this fall to build a fourth church. How do we make all those things happen? The collective work of the body of Christ being obedient to the tithe. Now, once again, I believe that as long as we're teaching the principle and people are rejecting it, God will still provide it as long as we're in right standing and right heart, which go hand in hand, then God will bring money in however we need it. I've watched it time and time again. But you can't go down and feed 300 kids every day in Honduras by yourself. Why someone wouldn't want to benefit the kingdom of God being connected to the church is beyond me. People that say I can have church all on my own, they don't get any of this principle. You can't. The tithe goes to the house of God. Number 9, I got to move on. Our giving is to be cheerful and consistent. 2 Corinthians 9:7, we've already talked about that. Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season you will reap. The principle here is don't tithe one day and then hope 5 minutes later you're going to get a return. Because that's the principle that will get you frustrated. And I want to make sure I'm not teaching that tonight. This is not a get rich quick scheme. This is a biblical principle that you live and surrender to your whole life. The last one, number 10, your giving will be more than matched by God. Let me put something to rest here. You're not going to outgive God. So don't worry about that. Galatians 6:7, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever he sows, that shall he reap. And we always look at that as a negative, but that's a positive in my book. Now, obviously, it can have negative connotations, but I'm looking at it from a positive aspect. Whatever you give, it's the same type you will give back. When you plant apple seed, you don't get corn. Everybody get that, right? We've taught that principle 100 times here. Well, Pastor, I just don't give, and I have heard this here more than once in the past 12 years. Pastor, I just don't give money. I give my time, and I give my effort. I cook, I go to the hospital, I take meals to people who are in need, and that's my way of giving. Well, let me just tell you, that's great, and I applaud you. So when you're in the hospital, you'll probably have some meals. When you are needing someone to help you with some things you're dealing with time, you will find that somebody else will give time. Don't be mocked. Don't mock God. You're going to get exactly what you give. So you're not going to be able to give time and get money. And a lot of people think that, but I just can't read scripture and find that. It's the seed, time, and harvest principle is you never plant apples and get corn. So you're never going to plant time or food or go sit at the hospital and get money. It don't work that way. That's just against the word. So if you're looking for money, what do you got to do? You got to plant some money. And that's where I want you to get a hold of. As I'm talking about the tithe tonight, everything I said, go ahead and just add offering on there. How much? We'll talk about some more next week. What do you do with it? You got to know some more about that. But it's important to sow the harvest you are looking for. Church, I almost finished a couple more minutes. Josh did last week, so I got the same privilege. I want to be one of the biggest givers in our church, and not because of a pride issue. Something that I want to do is I want to be one of the givers, the biggest givers in this church. And here's why. By being one of the biggest givers in the church, then I'm one of the biggest receivers. And as if I'm one of the biggest receivers, then I'm able to be one of the biggest blessings. See, it all works as a chain. And unless you have how many of you wanted to bless someone in your life and you didn't have enough money to help them? Come on, I've been there. That's miserable. You hear of someone who's in need and then you can't do anything. I love that we're in a season of life that my wife can come in and say, we're able to bless. We're able to do something because of the right principles we've applied to our life out of the word. I want you to know tonight, I don't count the offerings in this church. So I don't know who gives what. That's why I'm not up here trying to, you can't sit there and think, well, he must know we haven't been. I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. I don't count the offerings. Now, I can point out some ladies who do, and they might be looking at you that way. I don't think they are. what I'm here to tell, because you're not up here teaching it. But if I was up here teaching it and I wasn't one of the biggest givers, it wouldn't be received. You're not going to be able to give something that you aren't engaged in. And so I want to encourage you how important it is to sow in. I don't have any idea who gives what, and I'm not ever going to. And I've had pastors that disagree with me on that. But here's the thing. I'm not going to preach to the richest guy in the church and make him happy or her happy, or I'm just not going to do it, nor am I going to get caught up on trying to put a guilt trip on somebody. That's never going to be something you can wonder, because I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. I'm not caught up on knowing who gives what. But before we get out of here, in understanding, there are a lot of us praying for you in this church. My family, for one. I have the directory app, and there are times I'm sitting in my office and I'm just going through the directory and I'm looking at names and faces and I'm praying for you. And I know I'm not the only one. We've talked about this in staff meeting. But know this, I and our staff are wasting our time praying for you if you're not tithing and you're not giving an offering. Make this a win-win for all of us and get a hold of this principle. As we live in financially difficult times, the people in this church are going to be a testimony to how God's blessings operate in a world that they don't understand. See, that giving is a clear key that opens you up to receiving blessings of God. It's no wonder that the devil wants to put a bad taste in your mouth about giving. If he can get you to quit giving, he can rob you of all the blessings of God. And I just want to be careful that that's not what we do. See, if the devil can get you so mad that you stop giving, what has he done? He stopped your receiving. If he can get you to stop giving, he's stopped your receiving. You're having a bad marriage. You're having difficulties in this area. You're having difficulties. It's because you stopped giving or you haven't got a hold of this principle. As we read this, here's what you've got to know as I read scripture. All the scripture that we read in this study, lots of scriptures that I'll get to next week, way more than we talked about today. There is not one mention ever about what is done with the money that you give in relationship to your blessing. When I got a hold of this, it finalized this whole thing for me. Here's what I want you to see. We are a people who are very particular about where our money goes. I can tell you where your heart is if you let me look at your checkbook and you just see where you've given the most money. Over the last few months, after the last 2 years, look at your checkbook and see where your money went. When you know where your money went, that's where your heart is. When the majority of your money goes to one area, that's where your heart is. And so I've just seen that and I've watched that and I've helped people financial plan. And I have watched people because we're watching where our money is. Come on, aren't we? We know where our money goes. We may not want to look at it, but we know. We know where our money goes. And what happens is this. We let our money go, and what do? We watch over the area it went to. If you are making a car payment that's over whatever percentage of your income, if you're making a car payment $300 to $500, let's go up to $800 to $1,000 or some of those out now, and you're making a car payment of that nature, I'm not here to scrutinize you or get on your case. Here's what I'm here to tell you. You're interested in that car. You're careful who borrows it. You're careful about what oil is being changed, period. See, when you have that investment in something, you watch over it, right? The more you start giving to the things of God, here's what the devil robs people of. They start watching how every dollar is spent, and then they start getting a little voice from the devil about being scrutinizing about how the church is spending money, who they hired, what they spent on equipment, what is not being done right now in the foyer. Well, I know it ought to be. And we start, as we give, well, that I'm just not giving no more. Here's what you got to know. What the organization does with what you give is no reflection anywhere in Scripture on your blessing. I have given to groups, I've given to organizations that threw my money away. They threw it away. I knew they squandered it. It was horrible. But you know what? It hasn't affected my blessing, not one day. Because I understand the scripture to say, in giving you receive. It doesn't say in giving and depending on what they do with it, you receive. See, so I want to encourage you with that tonight as we close. It's very important that you understand the tithe and offering principle. I'm sick and tired of the devil robbing God's people of their future because they just didn't get deep enough. Y'all get anything out of that tonight?
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.